Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. Got to find my paperwork here. Hold on just a second. I know I put it in here somewhere. Just have to find it to see what we have going on this week here on. That seems funny. Well, I will get to that. I know that we have some 2 days of Minnesota Twins baseball. Hold on a second. That's all I needed to do. All right. So, once again, hope everybody had a great weekend. Busy weekend out there. And we did a lot this weekend. We were out at the state fair on, we were out on Friday and spent the day, quite a bit of the day out there on Friday, my wife and I and the fam, and Scott made an appearance out there with us. We were enjoying some Jalapeno Pete's is where we were at, and yesterday, after we did some work at home, we went out and, had dinner and walked around the fair with Nate and Jennifer and I. So we had a really good weekend. Okay. I found it here. So Tuesday, so nothing today. Tuesday, we have Twins Tigers. Friday, we have Twins Pirates. Saturday, we have Chiefs at the Cardinals, and Sunday, we have the Twins and the Pirates, and then next week, it's Twins and Brewers, so we have that coming up. Just to give you a rundown on this week, so we're in studio today, and we are, Scott and I are at the fair tomorrow at the Cumulus booth, what did we say, west side of admin building, right by the first aid and the restrooms and the gizmo. There you go. I had a gizmo on the way home last night. It was really, 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 really good. We'll talk about some of the fair stuff coming up here in a little bit. A lot of sports stuff to talk about as well. Then Thursday, we're back out at the fair again. I'm off on Friday. And then we are back in here Monday through Friday, getting ready for college football, getting ready for high school football. A lot of stuff going on. We'll be a week away from high school football because I think school starts right after the fair's done. So we'll be rocking and rolling and ready to go, and it's football time, and the world's good and everything's good. As always, want to take a little bit of time to thank our sponsors, and that is Northwest Bank, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Woodman Controls. Also, we're doing some special stuff with Broadlawns as well, so we'll talk about Broadlawns a little bit today as well. I got to spend some time last week. I had him in studio, and it was fun. Talk some more. We got a lot of things that are getting ready to happen. So be looking forward to all of that. Okay, so big news of the day. I mean, there's some interesting stuff out there. This one caught my eye the most because I always like to, you know, start a little quirky on a Monday. Michael Orr has played for a few different teams in the NFL, offensive lineman, and his life was portrayed in a movie called The Blind Side. It was a ginormous hit. It was a really good movie. Sandra Bullock, Tim McGraw, and it was a lot of fun. Well, now you find the rest of the story today. Michael Orr, the former NFL tackle, filed a petition Monday accusing Sean and Leanne Tuohy of lying to him by having him sign papers, making them be his conservators rather than his adoptive parents nearly two decades ago. By having him sign the paperwork, he said they falsely claimed that they had adopted him, and what they did is took conservatorship to take control over his money. I think blindside, all said and done, with everything and video sales and that, was over $300 million. His professional contracts, I mean, this is a lot of stuff, and it makes you scratch your head about who in the world would do that to someone who it seemed that they were trying to help. So I thought that was a very interesting turn of events today. I was not looking for that anywhere near being one of the bigger stories of the weekend, but I think it was. And looking close to see where this story is going to go, because it's not going to end well if everything that Michael is saying is true. So kind of sad about that, but folks, it happens, right? There are people out there that people think are good and are not. And there's people out there that people think are bad and they're not. So you gotta kind of figure this stuff out on your own. Didn't get to talk a lot about what is happening on the islands in Hawaii. I think this is a really interesting thing to think about, is what happened is an anomaly, and it doesn't happen very often. But the one thing that you have to realize in the world, Mother Nature's tough. You've had loss of life, loss of land. It was a perfect storm. However, the fires started, that's all going to play itself out. But the fact to have a fire like that and then have hurricane-ish winds blowing across in this general location, I mean, this is a tourist center, and the epitome of this town is that's where all the people that do all the tourists, all the workers, all are there. So not only did it destroy the tourist area, but it destroyed all the people's homes. Not that we were lucky, but we were lucky. We survived a hurricane. There was a bunch of us going down to Florida. We were in Chicago. The airline had debated it on and off and on and off and on and off if they were going to fly. They decided to go. As soon as we got into the airport, we were taken to the hotel and pretty much said, hey, you got 2 hours and we're going to go to the basement because a hurricane's coming. We made the best of it, but it's a crazy thing. You know, we're used to tornadoes here and the damage that tornadoes can do. This hurricane lasted for like 3 hours. I mean, it was incredible. The high winds that happened in Hawaii, and everybody's kind of just looking to see, hey, look what happened to this town and all that. I mean, it has stopped everything on the whole island, from airlines going in and out, you know, just all these things. I mean, it was a horrific thing. People like to, if you've been watching it on TV, you know, people like to jump to the other side when things like this happens and try to, you know, place the blame game and to, you know, try to figure out what went wrong, what went right, all those things. Way too early to do that. You never have any idea. You know, they said warning thing, sirens and stuff didn't go off. I mean, this from what you hear from people, this was, you know, a small fire, hurricane winds, boom, and all hell broke loose. And at a level that no one thought was going to happen. So that was a incredibly sad, you know, just chain of events. And I mean, you have people jumping in water to try to survive for hours because of the heat and the flames. It destroyed a whole entire 20 square miles. Now, people are going to recover. I mean, that's the great thing about what we do. When things are bad, we make things be good. Our issue that we have a lot of times, sometimes, is when things are going good, we don't trust in it and think something's going to be bad. I think I might fall into that category more times than not. But so, you know, this is a cliche, right? That you say thoughts and prayers. Listen, I'll do whatever I can do from here, but the fact that people know that people are thinking about you, it's a big deal. No matter what you're going through, it's a big deal. Some other big news. I believe this is an incredible story. A ripple effect of Iowa women's basketball. Chad Letzikow today. The Iowa women, I do not know if they've ever sold out a home game. I put this in here twice today. So when I keep going, nope, it's the first time in program history Iowa women's basketball has sold out every game this upcoming season. Caitlin Clark's senior year and a preseason top five Iowa team has fans buzzing with excitement. I do not think that they've ever. I don't know that the women have ever had a sellout. I think they've been close to having a sellout. This is a whole season, folks. Every game at Carver Hawkeye Arena for the Iowa women is sold out. And that's not counting the football, the game in Kinnick, which is going to be pretty awesome as well. So if there are people out there that still do not believe that Caitlin Clark is changing, not only is she changing women's sports, she's changing all sports. And no easier way to see that than, you know, if it's Hy-Vee, her pictures that are at the fair, if it's the butter Caitlin at the fair, her being at the fair, it's some pretty exciting stuff. And she's a pretty amazing young lady, and what she's doing is evolutionizing. There's not a big enough thing to put it into words what she's doing to women's college sports or just sports in general. But the simple fact that, I mean, listen, this is the part that's difficult, right? This isn't football that, you know, has taken its you know, spot at the top of the mountaintop here. This is basketball in the state of Iowa, where no matter where, if you're coming from here or anywhere you're going, it's cold, it's winter, it's all those things, and it's not stopping people. It is a full on go to get to see her play. That's why they're traveling. That's why they're going to go more places. And I had this conversation a lot over the weekend, at the fair, the couple of times we were at the fair with just random people that we would meet. I mean, so huge fair guy. I've already told you this. We spent, so we went out Thursday, had fun. We went Friday pretty early. And then I think we got out at like 11 o'clock. I met up with Scott. We sat up and talked for a while. Then went to Jalapeno Pete's to see if we could find a place to sit. And we found a place on the upper level, kind of right in the middle. And I think it was like noon or 12:30. The next time that I left Jalapeno Pete's, unless I was going for food somewhere, was like 11 o'clock when we went home and sat up and had some of the best conversations I've had. I think that's the thing that I enjoy most about the fair. I like talking to people. Met a lot of interesting people, talked a lot about a lot of different things. You know, once people find out you like to talk sports, it's an open-ended conversation of, you know, laughter, yelling and screaming. I think the worst thing that I got chastised for of all things, and it was on both sides, was how can I be an Iowa State fan and be a Caitlin Clark fan? Well, I'm like, that's easy because I'm a fan of Caitlin Clark's. They're like, well, how can you be an Iowa State fan and still follow the Hawkeyes and do all that? I said, because they're the two Division I teams in the state of Iowa, and I like both of them, and I enjoy both of them. I just enjoy Iowa State more. That was the biggest conversations that I had when I was at the fair. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Plenty more to talk about. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. Tuesday, so tomorrow, we're going to get Twins Tigers right after our show. That's coming live from the fairgrounds tomorrow. Again, on Friday, you're going to get Twins and the Pirates. Saturday, you're going to get your second Kansas City Chief preseason game, 6 o'clock. On Sunday, Twins and Pirates at noon. And next Tuesday, Twins and Brewers. What else did I miss? I got a read to do here. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the Biz Buzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Got to get all those in there because to make sure we don't get in trouble. All right. So, glad everybody's in. Just another recap. So tomorrow and Thursday, Scott and I will be at the fair. On Wednesday, I will be in studio. We have Friday off, Saturday, Sunday, and then we come back in. Like I said, we got a week until high school football. 2 weeks before, well, not even 2 weeks because you have some games earlier. 2 weeks before you start getting some college football, looking forward to all of that. Just a lot of stuff going on. I have my, I'm looking here to make sure what my, because I have all my tickets and all my parking and everything ready to go for Iowa State, and cannot wait. I'm pulling up. There she be. We have on Wednesday. I just want to make sure I let people know. On Wednesday, 4 o'clock hour, Randy Wayhofer's coming in here on Wednesday. I didn't want to forget about that. And some of the big news today, and I wanted to get the full kind of, it's not a full story, but it's somewhat of a story. It is Isaiah Lee. And he is an Iowa State football defensive lineman. Do believe that would have had some playing time. An Iowa State defensive lineman accused of wagering on his team's game, including one where he bet against the Cyclones, has left the program, the school confirmed on Monday. A lot of talk this past week about all of this. A little shouting maybe at the state fair over beers on you know, some of the ins and outs. You know, you have a couple of different ways to look at some of this stuff. You know, you have the crowd of, well, these kids know better and they just shouldn't have done it, so this is, you know, they should be punished. Totally agree with that. It is the number one rule. You know, Major League Baseball had that rule forever, and there were still a bunch of Major League Baseball players that broke that rule, and they were making millions of dollars. So, you know, my whole thought on all of this is, if you don't know and you don't understand rules, then don't do it. That would be my number. That'd be my number one thing. Hey, you can't bet on this stuff. Just telling you, you can't do it. If you think you're smarter than everybody and you can do it and you can try to do it somewhere else. See, the problem is a lot of people don't read all the fine print that you do when you sign up to be sign up with a betting account, no matter if it's BetMGM, DraftKings, whatever it is. It's a pretty long list of things that you can't do. And in the NFL, in the NCAA, you definitely have rules. You can't say you didn't know the rules. And it doesn't matter if you're using somebody else's phone. It doesn't matter if you're using an alias. Folks, they can track you. Now, I still think, and in some instances, that some of these individuals, it might not be as dangerous if what you're hearing is true. And I don't understand the whole pinging, and somebody tried to explain it to me at the fair, and I just probably looked at him, gazed eye look over my face going, okay, so would you know if someone's pinging you? And he's like, nah, probably not. And I go, how can they distinguish the pings? Well, they have phone numbers. So I'm like, okay, so in order to get these, the athletes, that means that the athletes had to, if I got this correctly, the athletes had to open up the account on their phones and then bet off their phones. Now, the part that I don't understand in some is if they were wagering off their mom and dad's phones. So I'm trying to sort through this. So does that mean for this to even be out there? Number one, this isn't an NCAA thing. It's not that started. It was something in the state of Iowa. From what I can tell of everything that's going on, the only place that's talking about student athletes betting on sports apps is in Iowa. And I'm telling you, that cannot be true. It just can't. I'm not buying. But either it is easier in Iowa to backlog into phones to see who's doing what or what. I don't know what all of it is, but here's some of the things that I'll tell you that make me extremely unhappy. And let's take Isaiah Lee, because it's a kind of, not he's the last one, but it's the one. Not only was he betting on sports, He was betting against his team. I'm sorry. That's not okay. Because here's the thing. If you're betting for your team to win, then that means everything that you do on the field, you're doing to get a win. If you're betting on your team to lose, it's not even betting that for your team not to cover. You're outright betting on your team to lose. That's the only way, as a starter on a football team or anybody on a football team, that you have some type of control over is in losing. Now, I don't know if that makes sense to other people, but man, it sure does seem pretty clear in my head that no matter how good I play, out of my mind play, my team still has the same opportunity of winning and losing. If I deliberately know that I have bet against my team and I can do little things to affect the game, I have a problem with that. And I saw people and people said, well, what's the difference of doing that, or what's the difference of the over-under? And I'm like, okay, here's a really funny thing about over-under. You have to be able to use your own ability to make a change like that. And the only thing that I've seen pictures of in anything is Arlen Bruce catching a pass out of the backfield, could have walked into the end zone, and he slipped and fell. And you know what? I've seen that play 1,000 times on TV. And it doesn't mean anything to me, except for now, because he was betting on the game. That's a problem. That is the NCAA's problem. I guarantee you the NFL, that's one of the biggest problems that the NFL is looking at. Not having the ability for a player to affect a game to make money for somebody. But we've never worried about them making it to make money for themselves. Now, if this young man, and I have no idea what he's done or what he hasn't done, but they have his book saying he bet against his football team. I have an issue with that. If Arlen Bruce would have bet on the under, the over, the under, if you're not betting on your team to win, I have issue with what you were doing. Do I think that you should lose all your eligibility for? You knew the rules. Do I think there should be a criminal case brought up against you if you were betting your team to win? Or if you were, see, I'm not even good with betting the under and the over. You still have more control doing that. It's much worse when you're betting against your team to lose, because I think you can affect that in the biggest way. If you're betting on your team to win, you're just playing like you normally do. Even though it still breaks the rules, I would have a far less harsh time taking a stand on how I really feel, because here's my issue that I have is, once again, these universities are starting to take gambling money. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to be the first one to put a gambling establishment in a college football stadium. And the minute that you do that, the fact that you're punishing student athletes, it doesn't fly well with me. It doesn't fly well with me on this part too. And this is the reason I've fought for name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal. If you don't want kids to transfer and be eligible right away, then you can't let coaches, athletic directors, assistant coaches, you cannot allow them to leave programs and be able to coach right away. You can't do it. Because it's not right. You are making billions of dollars off these student athletes. Billions. And we're worried about, you know, we're worried right now, we're worried about, and now, the wrestler from Iowa State, $45,000. If I saw that and it came across my desk and I'm Jamie Pollard or I'm somebody, I'm an athletic director or I'm somebody else, I'm looking around going, where are they getting $45,000? I even have a bigger problem with that. My goodness gracious. That's a lot of money, folks. That's a lot of money to change your life, to make life-changing events and make them happen. We have to be concerned. When you hear things like that, we have to be concerned. Do I feel sorry for these kids? To a certain point, yes. Do you have to live with consequences? Yes. I've had to live with consequences. Everybody has to live with consequences. Everything that we do on a daily basis, we live with highs, lows, consequences, successes. Every day. And it's just a part of life. You can't try to cheat it and change it without doing the work. Now, my bigger issue that I have right now is if you're the NCAA, where are you at? If you're seeing in a very small investigation that they've busted a good four handful of kids, and you're concerned about betting in NCAA college athletics, why are you not doing this everywhere? Why are you not having the state of Alabama start checking on sports betting? How are you not having the state of Tennessee being checked, Michigan, Ohio State? It's not just happening in the state of Iowa because we have sports betting. It's happening everywhere that we have sports betting. Now, if I'm another state and I'm a fan, I'm going, hey, our state doesn't have to do that. Nope, I agree with you. Your state does not have to do that. The fact that you don't have the NCAA pushing to have this done in every state. And getting back to one more point, and I won't bring it up except for if I bring it up in the next hour just to recap. If they are pinging athletes' phones only and not a whole bunch of people's phones to see if they're sports betting, I have a problem with that. And I think the state of Iowa laws would have a problem with that. So it's going to be very interesting, but it is a very it's a black eye for sports, and it's a black eye for sports in the state of Iowa right now. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Plenty more. Last segment of this first hour. Be right back. Last segment of this first hour on this Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Next segment, this segment, is going to be brought to you by Broadlawns. Check out Broadlawns. It is, hold on, I have to make sure that I don't mess this up. So I have my keychain that I got from Iz and Nate and Melissa. Here we go. Broadlawns. Bolder, better, brighter. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. You can be excited about Broadlawns. Everything that it has to offer, all the new things it has to offer, all the new things that are coming. It is changing healthcare in the Des Moines area. And I really enjoy that we get to start talking about Broadlawns and having some fun. Appreciate the team and everything about it. Okay, so just getting back just a little, you know what? I've hammered this sports betting for you knew it was going to, you know, it came a point in time that it was going to happen. And I think with anything that has to do with gambling, you have to do it in a way that you're comfortable with. And for most of us, that's not a big deal. But there are people who can't stop, don't understand, can't get carried away. I mean, some really bad things can happen. And you have to be on the lookout for stuff like that. And you don't like to see people, families be interrupted their lives with gambling issues. And I understand that. The fact that you have such a strong college atmosphere in the state, and we have with football teams all around us, we have a huge NFL. I mean, it was just a matter of time, and they've been very successful everywhere they're at. And so it's hard to, you know, it's brought money into the state and helped programs that were in need of help. So there's the bonus on that. And that's the most, what's the most difficult thing about betting? There has to be winners and there has to be losers. Anytime that you have that, it's not easy. And I think that's one of the bigger problems that we have is, you know, that ability of losing. But what you can't have, and why it's regulated so much in the sports world, is because you can't have shenanigans going on when you're watching sporting events and you're betting on them. I don't want shenanigans going on if I don't have a bet on the game. But I definitely don't want shenanigans going on if I have money on a game. And I think they do a pretty good job of making sure that is getting taken care of. This is one thing I did not think I would see today, that Zeke Elliott is signing a one-year deal with the Patriots today. It includes a $3 million base salary, a $1 million signing bonus, and can be worth up to $6 million with incentives. I know nothing about Ezekiel Elliott except for that he's been fun in the past to watch run a football. I don't know what kind of person he is. I don't know what kind of human being he is. I don't know if he's good, bad, indifferent. I don't know any of those things. I know that he ran for a lot of yards, and I know the New England Patriots right now, if you look at their roster, aren't very talented in a lot of different places. I hope he can help them, even though I don't root for the New England Patriots. I thought this was a really interesting one today. It was a 5-star defensive lineman. Breaking news today. His name is Williams Nowani. He's committed to Missouri. He's the number one player in the 24 class. He chose the Tigers over Oklahoma, Georgia, and Tennessee. It's the highest ranked player to commit to Mizzou in the modern ranking area. And he goes, I'm home now, so let's go make history. Why is this important? Steen's going to answer you. This is what I've said with the overview of college athletics from 5 years ago compared to what the next 5 years are going to be. And in that time, and I don't know how all the, you know, for all the people out there, you're going to have two conferences and a bunch of teams aren't going to make it and they're going to have to go do it. I don't think that's coming anytime soon. I don't think if I didn't see television or sports companies hurting, ESPN laying off people, Fox laying off people, CBS laying off people, NBC laying off people. If I didn't see that, then maybe I'd be worried about it. They don't have enough money to get those guys to jump and get them all in one spot. I don't think they do. I don't think the money exists out there right now. But what I have said all along with name, image, and likeness, and with all this that's going on, kids aren't going to go to Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State or Michigan and be one of six guys that are four or five star kids when there's only two spots to play. In order for name, image, and likeness to work, you have to be in one of the big three conferences now, which starts next year. You have to be in one of those three because you have to be on TV. Name, image, and likeness doesn't work if you're not on TV. So this young man, instead of being one of five going to Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, any of those schools, he's going to go to Missouri and try to make a difference. It's no different than if he would have went to Iowa to try to make a difference, or if he'd have went to Iowa State to try to make a difference. You're not going to be able to stack up your kids and then not give them playing time because they're not going to stay because they can transfer. And the moment, and they're pushing every time they talk about stuff, Nick Saban, all these guys, you know, you just can't let these kids willy-nilly move. Well, then you guys can't willy-nilly move. Or you also, you have to have rules. If you can't recruit, if you have five defensive linemen on your club already, you can't recruit 10 more. You have to put, if you're not going to let these kids transfer because of playing time or coaching changes, you're going to have to change the way that people can recruit and how many kids at how many positions that they can have on board. It's just you're being told and sold a tale when you go to these places. And it doesn't always work out, folks. There's just as many people that have dropped out of school and not played football anymore as there are people that make it and go to the NFL, if not double. I thought that was, it was just one of those things that I think you're going to be seeing more and more and more and more of, because everybody's going to be on TV, so you have a chance to make money. I'm telling you, the University of Iowa women's basketball team, for what they did last year, is amazing. It's if you went to ESPN right now, I mean, they're going to tell you they're going to have Iowa on as much as they can because of Caitlin Clark. But what Caitlin Clark has done is she's changed the narrative. So if it's Big Monday, this is a crazy thing, and I've been thinking about this ever since last year. If you have Big Monday during NCAA basketball, and Caitlin Clark's on, or somebody that you have no idea in the world any of the guys are, because these kids in men's NCAA basketball, they're there for a year and they leave. So you get a North Carolina Duke game, or you get a Caitlin Clark game somewhere. You used to say that's an 80-20 win for Duke North Carolina men. I'm telling you, it's not that way. If they're both on the Big Ten, the only way it'd be that way is because you'd be on the Big Ten Network or it'd be on ESPN2 or something like that, and it would skew the numbers. It's fascinating. This is fascinating stuff, and it's only going to get better, because here's what I wanted to say, and I tried to say this to somebody the other day, and I don't know if it came out right. Before Caitlin, there were a lot of great players. I mean, Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird and all these guys, gals, unbelievable players. Now there's 30 of them. Now, they may not be Caitlin Clark. They may not be Paige Beckers. They may not be Azia Fudd. They may not be Ashley Jones. But they're getting there. But now there's twice as many because they're all going out for the sport and they're watching these girls, and it's going to make a difference. It's going to be pretty cool. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. A lot of sports still to come. Be right back. Back in, everybody, once again. Happy Monday. Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. This week, Twins Tigers tomorrow. Friday is Twins Pirates. Saturday, Chiefs Cardinals. Sunday, Twins Pirates. And next Tuesday, Twins Brewers. That is what is coming up. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance, providing peace of mind and protecting the future of your buildings and all your occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance is a certified partner of science-proven microbial control, provides an advanced level of janitorial and custodial services through data-driven research and development. Customers who participate in the science-proven program can rest assured they are receiving state-of-the-art surface protection, making their built-in environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for all their occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance is a health-centric company providing innovative building maintenance janitorial services. They provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services throughout the Midwest. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about Heritage Building Maintenance and the science-proven microbial control program, feel free to reach out to one of the dedicated team members through their website at heritagebldg.com or call 515-868-0842 today. Heritage Building Maintenance. Okay, I talked about Zeke Elliott for just a second. He's 28 years old. Here's the crazy thing. If you listen, and I have a he's on vacation, but he's a huge Cowboy fan. Sometimes we talk about Ezekiel Elliott, you'd think, my gosh, he's lost it. He's 28 years old. He's an excellent pass blocker. He's had 22 touchdowns in the past 2 years, and he's going to be a mentor for the future Pro Bowler, Malik Cunningham, for the Patriots. So, you know, I don't think the Patriots are sad about that. I just think there's such an ugly threat out there about running backs, and they shouldn't be getting paid. And it's just it's the cruel things of athletics. Professional athletics are cutthroat. Welcome. That's why we love it. That's why we follow it. 12 months out of the year, 52 weeks. That's all we do. We want to talk about the NFL. It's pretty funny. So I don't know. It is. I if you're the New England Patriots and you need players, I don't know why you would not do that. It makes sense to me, and I can't imagine. I just can't imagine not doing things that way. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think some good things can happen out of that. We will find out. Okay, so the preseason AP Top 25 came out today. It was the first official rankings. And I have it in a couple of different ways, as long as this pops up, and have no idea why men's basketball came up instead of NCAA football. That is a weird thing. Did it pop in here again? It certainly did. I need NCAA football on this day. And rankings. Here is the breakdown. Before I read them off to you, here is the breakdown of conferences. The SEC has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 6 in the top 25. The Big Ten has 5. The Pac-12 has 5. The Big 12 has 4. And the ACC have 3, and Tulane is there, and Notre Dame is there. So we'll kind of go down and see what people think. Georgia is number 1. I think everybody is probably good with that. I think Georgia is they're by far the most talented team. They're what they have to do, quarterback play. You never know, but. Pretty big, 1,572 points to 1,490 for Michigan. And the coaches poll have the same. There's a little bit of, so the coaches poll, Georgia and Michigan are both 1-2. The AP top 25 has Ohio State 3. The coaches poll have Alabama. Ohio State and Alabama just switch in those two regions there. Both polls have LSU number 5. They have USC number 6. They have Penn State number 7. They have Florida State number 8. They have Clemson number 9. And then a little bit of change. So we'll go with the AP. They have Washington, Texas, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Utah, Oregon, K-State, TCU, Oregon State, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, North Carolina, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Tulane, and Iowa. The coaches poll does not have Iowa. I'm really curious, and I would love to see this because I always like someone like Tulane to make that. Man, it's really easy to vote for Tulane right now. And at the beginning of the season, you vote him in, you get him in the top 25. But if those same people that are voting for Tulane to get him in the top 25, if they're still in the top 25 when the season ends, they're going to say, well, we can't put Tulane in anything because they don't play anybody. That's an irritating thought. So the SEC has Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. If you would have looked over the last 5 years, you probably were going to have those same teams. I mean, that's just the way things are. I don't know how much I believe in Ole Miss. I do not believe in Jimbo Fisher. He has shown nothing that you should be believing in Jimbo Fisher. That'll be interesting to see what happens. Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, and Iowa. I agree with those. It's going to be the last year that it's going to be that easy. Bringing USC and UCLA in, bringing the rest of that crew in, is going to change drastically how some of those teams are going to do in the Big Ten. In the Pac-12, you have USC, you have Washington, you have Utah, you have Oregon, and you have Oregon State. It's kind of a sad year for Oregon State. Oregon State has a lot of talent, really good quarterback, good coaching, and no place to play after this year. Big 12 has K-State, Texas, Oklahoma, and TCU. They did not have Kansas in here. A lot of people do. It'll be interesting to see what happens. The coaches poll has Texas Tech in there. That's interesting. Texas A&M barely makes it at 25. It's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out. My thoughts are that I think that you have the cream of the crop, and it's going to be tough. Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State, but all of them have tough road games, and all of them have tough home games. I don't think you're going to see an undefeated team this year. I think you may have one or two one-loss teams. I think you're going to have multiple two-loss teams. It's getting to a point where these programs and these teams are too close. A lot of these guys are breaking in new quarterbacks. That's not easy to do. A lot of these guys are hoping their quarterbacks play better than what they did last year. That's not easy to do. You look at Iowa and Iowa State, maybe Iowa State more because most of the players that Iowa State are losing are starters. So you're going to have young kids come in and perform. And you have to look at some of these conferences that are out there, and that's going to be very interesting as well. But once they start making the changes, and once they, in 2024, when you get these bigger conferences coming in and they all have to play each other, you're not going to have three games out of the year that you know you're going to win. You're not going to be able to schedule all those games anymore. You're going to get one or two of them. Because you're not going to a bigger conference, so you still don't have to play all the good teams in your conference. When you break into divisions and you have the divisions kind of how you want them, I mean, folks, it's pretty easy. You have divisions and you put teams in the divisions where they're at so you can get the biggest bang for your buck. And when you look at bowl appearances and you look at records and you look at all of that and you're in divisions, you need to see who they played during the year. when you go, and now there's so many of these teams that are changing, you know, changing hands and moving, that it's next year, it's going to be so much fun. When, I mean, that's a time in college football where you can't wait to get the schedule to see who's playing who and when they're playing and all of that. I think that's going to be pretty exciting. Listen, some people said today, well, do you feel confident Iowa should be in the top 25? I'm like, if you see, this is how I have no idea in the world how the AP and everybody votes, because I'm telling you right now, if you look at Iowa's schedule and Cade McNamara is healthy, and nobody said he isn't, they don't play anybody. They should be in the top 10. Most of their games, they're going to be favored in. Now, the only reason that they're not favored in a lot of these games is hangover from Brian Ferentz last year. If their offense would have been middle of the Big Ten last year, not one of the worst in college football, they would be a top 12, top 8 team in the country. With that defense and now a quarterback that you can rely on to win you football games, a great kicking game, and an experienced coaching staff, and a schedule that, if you're listening to all the pundits, you have a home game against Utah State, that's a win. You have an away game at Iowa State, which, if you're going by what the book's going to be, that's a win. You play Western Michigan. You have to go to Penn State. There's your first tough game. You have to play Michigan State. You never know. You know. And then you have Purdue. You never know. Then you're at Wisconsin. Second tough game. Then you play Minnesota. You never know. Northwestern, unbelievably bad with no rudder, no vision, no anything. Rutgers, don't even have to say. Illinois, tough game. And then at Nebraska. So you get, I mean, you have tough. So you're at Iowa State and you're at Penn State. Then you get Michigan State and you're at Wisconsin. Then you're home to Minnesota, home to Northwestern, home to Rutgers, home to Illinois, and at Nebraska. And I think the bad thing for the University of Iowa is they have to play Nebraska when they normally play Nebraska, and that's over Thanksgiving, because that gives Matt Rhule time to build something, to see what he has. So that's, you know, that's where we're at. They should be, if they believed in Kirk Ferentz and not using Brian Ferentz to knock them down, they should be a top 10, top 12 team in the country. It'll be very interesting to see where they get maneuvered around in there. So, you know, the breakdown, do I think SEC is going to have, at the end of the year, do I think SEC is going to have six teams in there? I don't know. I think some of the teams in the SEC may not be as good as you have no idea how Texas A&M and Ole Miss and Tennessee are going to play. You just don't. Do I have all the confidence in the world in Georgia, Alabama, and LSU? Absolutely. Just like I do Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, and Iowa. I believe in that. I get that. Do I believe in Southern Cal, Washington, Utah, Oregon, and Washington State? No. Do I believe in Oklahoma and Texas? No. Do I believe in TCU and K-State more than I do Texas and Oklahoma? Do I believe in Clemson, Florida State, and North Carolina? I believe in Clemson. Do I believe in Notre Dame? I have no idea. You're not hearing anything. You're not seeing anything. I don't know. I don't know how much you can trust the coaching staff. It's just not, it's not as out there as it has been in the past. I mean, when Brian Kelly was there, he guaranteed you 3 or 4 wins. That's what people looked at. I don't know if you have that with the new coaching staff. You had bits and pieces of it last year, but you lost some games that you shouldn't have lost. The Cowboys, so they did not sign Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott went to the New England Patriots. They did sign Zach Martin today. Probably the most important thing to Dak Prescott in the world is Zach Martin. Zach Martin reached agreement on a reworked deal. Per sources, the new deal will pay him north of $18 million in each in the next 2 years. Martin was scheduled to be at 13.5 and 14, so he got, so would that have been 27.5? So almost $10 million more. It's not bad money. So, you know, you take that. Dallas Cowboys are one of those teams in the NFL. You want to believe in them. And then you have to look all the way through. Do you trust everybody that's, do you trust the coach? Do you trust the owner? Do you trust the quarterback? You know who they trust? The defensive coordinator. That's who they trust. That's a tough one for me as well. We talked a little bit over the weekend, and this one popped up today that the Indiana Fever in the WNBA power rankings. They look right. They got a Leia Boston last year. They picked her number one in the draft. And this conversation revolved around Caitlin Clark and what she would do at the end of the year. And my response to that was twofold. One is, was she healthy and how did they perform? And the second part of this is, who has the number one pick next year? If you have the number one pick and you're in Indiana, which is close to here, and you have a Leia Boston on the floor, that's tempting. If not, and you don't have something like that, coming back to the University of Iowa and continuing for one more year and doing what you've been doing and raising women's hoop in the NCAA might not be a bad idea as well. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Monday, everybody. You're listening to Steen on Sports. Bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. And Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. The website, 1700thechamp.com. On the website, you can do a couple of things. You can listen to the show live by clicking on the live microphone. You can listen to podcasts. You can do all kinds of things. You can get Minnesota Twins. You can get you and I Panthers. So a lot of availability. Kansas City Chiefs. There you go. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to Woodman Controls and find out more about an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Thank you very much to Woodman Controls. Okay, so a couple of quick things. This is a very interesting one. And this is the difficulty when you're in the NFL. And then I'm going to jump into some NBA because it was the Hall of Fame this past weekend. This is an interesting thing, and it has ties because it has ties to Iowa State or the state of Iowa with Brock Purdy and everything. But everybody's talking about Trey Lance. They used a first round draft pick. He needs developmental time. And the problem is that the San Francisco 49ers cannot afford to do that. The San Francisco 49ers have a team made to win right now. And because Trey Lance had injuries last year and could not play, and how Brock Purdy came in and his emergence as being an NFL starting quarterback, they have a horrible situation. And the horrible situation is that when you have Brock Purdy and you have Trey Lance, they're not the same quarterback. They don't have the same style. They don't have the same wants. They don't have the same needs. They don't have anything alike. Who does? Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold. Sam may be a little bigger. Brock takes better care of the ball, but how they can scheme on offense with either one of those two there is almost exactly the same. But they need to give Trey Lance a development and a pathway. So even as an Iowa State fan, even as a Brock Purdy fan, on talent and physical ability alone, Trey Lance should be a better quarterback. That doesn't mean Trey Lance is a better quarterback, because he is not. But this is what happens when you're an NFL team and you have your front office has put you in a position that you need to win in these next 2, 3, 4 years. And it doesn't give you the opportunity to have someone like Trey Lance be on your team, because if Brock Purdy gets hurt and you have to bring Trey Lance in, you're going to have to rearrange some of the offense. If Brock Purdy gets hurt and you bring Sam Darnold in, they run the same offense. Trey Lance is not comfortable in the West Coast offense with quick snap decisions. It just doesn't work for him. And what the San Francisco 49ers are looking at, if they continue to play him and he plays well, then you're going to have teams contact you and try to trade for him. And so you would at least get something back for that draft prospect you thought you had. If he plays poorly like he has in a few of these games, and people have blown it out of proportion how poorly he's played, but he hasn't played awesome by any means. It's a tough thing for the 49ers, but it's just one of those things. It's another in the line of story of Brock Purdy. Mr. Irrelevant, all those things. What has he done? He's come in, he understands the offense, he knows how to work within the offense, and he has been outstanding. And for the simple fact that he got hurt, might have led them to big things. Okay, so this past weekend, and I have the list of, I think, the top eight of the the Hall of Fame classes. The Hall of Fame class that went in this year happens to be ranked fourth, and I think I agree with that. It was Dirk Nowitzki, Dwayne Wade, Paul Gasol, and Tony Parker. All in their own, extremely good players, international players, Olympic-style players, all of those things. It was just very interesting of all the, I mean, it's just a really good group. And it's a really good group that had a lot of ties to Kobe Bryant. That's kind of going to be Kobe's thing nowadays, is just how you tie into everything in the NBA. All of them had outstanding careers, and all of them were distinctively different, but multi-talented, could do everything, won championships. It's just pretty exciting. So, but that got people wanting to rank the, and I do believe they are ranking the top, I thought it was the top eight. It is. Oh, I have 10, but it may not get that far. But I wanted to go through them and just kind of go back and forth with everybody. So the number one group that they say of the Hall of Fame classes was in 2009. That was Michael Jordan, David Robinson, and John Stockton. Probably the best off guard of all time, one of the top 3-point guards of all time, and one of the top, I don't know, David Robinson's a little tougher, 6 or 7, but of the top centers of all time. It was an outstanding class. But that they ranked that the number one class. Mostly they ranked that the number one class because of Michael Jordan. But the number two class, and it has its own stars as well, was Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, and Kevin Garnett. What an amazing group that was, and will always be. The number three group was in 1980. It was Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, and Jerry Lucas. I mean, Jerry West, he's the logo. Oscar Robertson was Magic Johnson before Magic Johnson. one of the greatest players of all time. And Jerry Lucas was a really good player. Knickerbockers. I was going to say the Portland Trailblazers a while too, but I'm not positive on that one. So number four, we talked about already. That was the group that just went in. Number five, what an amazing one this one was too. Shaquille O'Neal, Allen Iverson, Zelmo Beatty, one of the original centers in the league, and Yao Ming. Not as good. And Yao Ming, if his career wouldn't have been cut short as much as it had because of injury, that would have been a really, really, really exciting class to see. Number six was Kareem and Vern Mikkelsen. And I have no idea in the world who Vern Mikkelsen is, and I'm an NBA fan, but that was way before my time. And I have this argument all the time. I had it this weekend with one of the boys. And I'm like, you know what? I love Michael Jordan. I love LeBron James. I love all these guys. If you're looking at somebody who actually changed the game of basketball, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Luol Cinder, changed the game of basketball. In high school, he changed the game of basketball. They outlawed the dunk because it was too easy for him. In college, same thing. Went to UCLA. Lost a game. Didn't get to play all 3 years because as freshman you couldn't play. And his teams won two out of three. Well, they won the championship that year. And the four other freshmen that were there with Kareem, that team in practice never beat Kareem's team. And they were the best team in college basketball. Number seven is a very interesting one as well. Julius Erving, Dan Issel, Walt Bellamy, Dick McGuire, Bill Walton, and Calvin Murphy. Calvin Murphy, one of the greatest small players ever in the NBA. Julius Erving, Dr. J, revolutionized the NBA. He inspired the ABA to a point where the NBA bought them out to get him into the NBA. Dan Issel played for the Denver Nuggets, was a great player. At Kentucky as well. Walt Bellamy, a great center. Dick McGuire, he's just a great guy. He does a lot of good things. Bill Walton, injuries are the only thing that stopped Bill Walton, I believe, in being the second best center of all time right behind Kareem. But that was a great class. Number eight class was Wilt Chamberlain. Enough said. Wilt Chamberlain was the man. There's nothing else to say. Number nine, Karl Malone, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Johnson, and Gus Johnson. Gus Johnson was a great player. He was just before his time. Dennis Johnson, a great defensive player, a great offensive player, then molded everybody in Boston with Larry Bird and really had a great year. Scottie Pippen and Karl Malone. Grant Hill, number 10. The 10th best class. Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Ray Allen, Grant Hill, Mo Cheeks, Charlie Scott, and Dino Raja. That was a great class as well. One of the one that kind of goes unrecognizable is Mo Cheeks. Great point guard for the Philadelphia 76er teams with Dr. J and everybody. Grant Hill, for all he did in college basketball, in the NBA, once again, injuries cut his career short. Jason Kidd was an outstanding point guard. Steve Nash, an outstanding shooter and point guard. Ray Allen, maybe the best shooter. I think him and Larry Bird are the two best shooters in NBA history. Steph Curry is going to give them a run for their money when he comes out. Charlie Scott played for the Suns, played for the Celtics. Another great player. And Dino Raja, tragically, didn't get to play all that much, but was such a talent. The NBA has had some great times, some great history, and some great players throughout history that it's so hard to compare players. I mean, even think about that. I think the greatest clutch player, shooter, Larry Bird, he wasn't even in a good enough Hall of Fame class to make the top 10 Hall of Fame classes. But when you see everybody, when I look at Wilt Chamberlain, I look at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, Wilt Chamberlain was an unstoppable force, and Kareem, being as good as he was because of Wilt's size and speed and everything, couldn't stop him. Wilt Chamberlain, who was one of the best defensive players, him and Bill Russell, blocking shot, could not stop Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It just, when you look at all these great players, Larry Bird, we don't, a lot of kids don't understand what Larry Bird was like and what his attitude and his cockiness and his ability. And he was from French Lick, Indiana, and slow as molasses, and just devoured people. There's so many more. John Stockton and Karl Malone. If John Stockton and Karl Malone were 3 years before or 4 years after, they probably would have had two or three championships. They just were in the time that Michael Jordan was there, and it was difficult to do. This group that just went in, though, and it's fun to see, because I was a huge Dirk Nowitzki fan. I was a huge Paul Gasol fan too. And Paul, the funny thing for him was when he came to the Lakers, being Kobe Bryant's teammate is not easy. Kobe was tough on his teammates, and their relationship that they garnered, molded, and ended up with is, I mean, you can't even explain it. And his continued as being the family matriarch for Vanessa and the kids for after their loss is unimaginable if they wouldn't have had him. It's just groups like you have to see, because when I look at this, I see basketball, and I don't see all the things on the outside of basketball, all the things they've done, and all the people they helped. And all of that. I think that makes it the most interesting. And just the nationality in different places that they all grew up, played hoops, but came here and excelled at hoops and became Hall of Fame members of the NBA. Not a lot of people do it. A lot of people tried and a lot of people failed. And it makes it really, really special. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We got a potpourri segment coming up here. We're going to talk about a few things, talk a little bit about the Iowa State Fair, what the rest of the week looks like. I'll be back Monday, everybody. Last segment on this Monday. Hope everybody had a good day. Enjoyed having you in. Hope you enjoyed listening. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ and 101.3 Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Tomorrow you're going to get Twins Tigers after our show. That'll be live at the fair tomorrow. On Friday, you're going to get the Twins and the Pirates. Saturday, Chiefs, Cardinals, 6 o'clock pregame. Sunday, you're going to get those Twins and Pirates again, and then the Twins and the Brewers on Tuesday. Twins had a really good weekend. Exciting stuff for them. As always, want to thank Northwest Bank, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Woodman Controls, and Broad Lawns Hospital for being a part of the program. We appreciate everything that they do. It makes us have the ability to get to do this show, and we enjoy it. Once again, Tuesday, we are at the fair. Wednesday, Scott and I are with Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott are in studio here on Wednesday. Thursday, back out to the fairgrounds, and then off on Friday. Then when we come back that following week, it is full-on football, college, professional, high school. We are going to start hitting that hard and doing a lot of baseball stuff next week as well. Also on Wednesday, 4 o'clock, Randy Wehofer assistant GM and VP of the Iowa Cubs, will be in studio. I saw him at the fair last night and made sure that we got that connection and hooked back up again. So we are good to go. Okay, just a little bit of potpourri to end the show today. James Harden's not happy with Daryl Morey. He said, Daryl Morey is a liar and I'll never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar and I'll never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. His only problem is his contract is with the Philadelphia 76ers. Well, Daryl Morey is a part of the program, so it's going to be a little bit touchy around there at this time. I don't know how much golf everybody watches. I watched a little bit of golf this weekend. They were in Memphis at St. Jude's tournament. Second of the PGA Tour playoffs. Lucas Glover won for the second time in a row. Lucas Glover, PGA Tour earnings 2012 to 2018. 158 starts. He had $5,234,000 or $5,234,462. And from August 6th through August 13th, he won almost $5 million. $5 million. That is a crazy, crazy thing. Major League Baseball, sad story, kind of, just people. Major League Baseball launched an investigation into Rays shortstop Wander Franco, and the team placed him on the restricted list after social media posts questioned the alleged nature of a relationship between him and a minor. That is an ongoing story that is not even close to being said or done yet. this is the funny part. So, Lucas Glover won a week ago, and then he on a Sunday, and then he won again on Sunday. So in the last 8 days, Lucas Glover has more wins in the last 8 days than Jordan Spieth, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrell Hatton, Colin Morikawa, and Victor Hovland have combined for 2023, which is less than two. Eek. Eek. And this was one, too, for someone who has not won has not had a PGA Tour victory. His name is Tommy Fleetwood. And Tommy Fleetwood, it has $20 million in official career earnings without a win. That's a lot. Why, you say? 22 top five finishes. So when he starts, he wins, which is very cool. And then it is a happy birthday to Steve Martin. I am a huge Steve Martin fan. And they have some of Steve Martin's best movies. And a lot of them are really, really good. The All of Me with Lily Tomlin I thought was a great movie. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was a great movie. Father of the Bride was amazing. L.A. Story is one of my favorite movies of all time. Little Shop of Horrors, he was great. Parenthood, he was great. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Roxanne, The Jerk. He had a ton of stuff that was incredible. And so happy birthday to him. He is. Probably older than what we think, but young at heart. Just a few things. So last night we went out, we were working on our house. We've been working on the house on John Patterson. And we were painting and cleaning and we did all kinds of stuff. For like the past, we have 2 weeks before, 2 weeks today that we, until we get new flooring throughout the house. So we have to get all this stuff done. But we decided that we didn't just want to grab supper. So we said, you know what, we're going to go. We went, parked and went in and went to the Varied Industry building or as my sons call it, the very interesting building, because they can never say varied industry. And then we had dinner, had a couple of beers, and enjoyed a quick 3-hour trip. But I had the, I thought it was called the Poke Bowl. Someone told me it was the Poke Bowl. I think it's Poke Bowl. But either way, it was delicious and had a gizmo as well, which is a staple for me. And I have a meeting after my show tonight, so I don't even know what I'm going to get for supper tonight. It's definitely not going to be either one of those two things. But it was just fun to, it was still busy. I haven't seen, they usually, numbers should have, I didn't see the paper today. So numbers should start coming out for Thursday, Friday, should have came out today, or they'll come out tomorrow morning. From what I could see, pretty good weather. I think you're going to see some pretty high numbers in there, but it was busy last night, especially in the places that you would expect. Sorry, had to sneeze. Didn't want you to hear that. But at the craft beer tent, it was extremely busy. Leading into an Eric Church concert was extremely busy. Some of the other spots were really busy. And then once you kind of got out a little bit further, it slowed down. JR's was major busy. So all of your mainstays were fully busy. Jalapeno Peach, you couldn't even move. And once again, that was a whole Saturday. I mean, it was 10 hours of sitting at Jalapeno Pete's, talking, meeting people. That it didn't used to be what I wanted to do at the fair. I wanted to just walk around. I wanted to watch people. I wanted to go do stuff. It was nice to go through the very interesting building yesterday. A lot of neat stuff in there. I can tell you some of the things that are big hits. I think some of the new fair food has been a huge hit. It was great to be a part of that process. The cookies there are still a huge deal. There are lines everywhere, and they sell them in more places now, and there are still lines everywhere for them. Like I said, the craft beer tent, Jalapeno Pete's, JR's, all those guys, the Depot, I mean, everybody's busy, and it's fun to see, and it's different crowds, and it's young crowds, and it's all different. It is the exact thing that we all love about the fair, and it still has it even today. And we tried to get through the shops underneath the where the concert was. It was so busy for the Eric Church concert that you could barely get there. And by the time we kind of got moving around, it was already 8 o'clock and it was closing. So we have that to do again as well. But once again, great job by the State Fair. New directors doing a great job. It's the most amazing thing, because we went home pretty late. It was probably 11:30 on Saturday when we went. I think it was Saturday. It was either Friday or Saturday. Now I don't remember. But it was really busy. But the next day you come out, it's perfectly clean. I love that about the State Fair and all that it has to offer. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott will be out at the fair tomorrow. West of the Varied Industries or the Administration Building. Come see us. See you then.